customers don't necessarily sit around and see what is out there in the marketplace. They've got companies to run and they've got jobs to do.
Any CEO will listen to an idea.
Yes.
No CEO is going to listen to a PowerPoint presentation.
Whether it's a robot or a person.
Exactly. And that's what you have to realize as a salesperson. Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
All right, guys. We just avoided a coffee disaster. So with that said, Jeffrey, what's going on in your sales world?
Jen, are you kidding me? We did this live virtual seminar. It was incredible. It was about a no bullshit belief system. I talked for the very first time about the configuration of attitude and belief.
Yep.
And how that creates self-confidence. And for those of you diehards who did not pay attention, we'll probably put a link in the show notes to tell you how to get down to the virtual seminar series if you want to buy it.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Jeffrey, you are so freaking humble, and maybe that's one of the things I like about you, but since I'm the wifey, I get to brag. And you were fucking phenomenal, okay? You brought more than your A game.
And thank you.
The feedback that we've gotten from this masterclass that you've delivered is really amazing. I mean, someone wrote in that it was the best training they've ever taken on sales. Like, the feedback coming in is just amazing. And you've done two masterclasses so far in the past couple of weeks. One was on your $1 million sales formula and yep. how to create sales starting at $1 to thousands of dollars to millions of dollars.
Correct.
And then the no bullshit belief system. And you have the what's the next one? It's on referrals, right?
Yep.
It's the magnetic referral method.
Yeah, it's basically, and I'm not going to let any cats out of the bag, but I'm sick of people telling me when to ask for a referral. There is no when. There is no ask. But you can get all you want if you tune in.
Okay, diehard, if you want to join us on this amazing journey, go to cgittimer.com and get your ticket. This is all going to be, all of the replays are available. So if you've missed the two first masterclasses, you can still access them. You can access the workbooks, you can access the recordings and all that. And all of this is going to be turned into your master class, mm-hmm. your signature course.
And for those of you who register, you get access to it forever. There's mm-hmm. no, well, this expires in 13 days. None of that bullshit. Mm-hmm. We don't manipulate in that way. We tell you, here it is. Here's how much it is. Here's what you get. And you can download it, watch it, deal with it forever.
Yeah. All right. So, for me, I had an amazing.
Oh, yeah. What's going on with you, Jen?
Yeah, let me tell you. I had an amazing meeting this morning with my designer, Riley. And
How's her life?
She's amazing. She's just so freaking awesome. She just got back from Paris. Anyway, so we're redesigning.
Did you compare notes with her?
I sent her our list for sure.
Okay, cool.
And she stayed in the Marais, so you know she had a great time.
Cool.
But it's just so cool when a business owner / salesperson wants to meet with you face to face, because everything we talked about we technically could have emailed about, right? But it furthered the relationship because she was pretty adamant about, like, let's meet for coffee. And it turns into like a breakfast meeting that's
right.
an hour and a half long.
Right.
And before I know it, I'm like, oh, and I need to design this and this and this and this. And I guarantee whatever the quote's going to be is a couple $1,000 more than whatever the quote would have been if I just sent her my request over email.
Right.
Like she got it. Yeah, because we could talk about it in person. And so it's just so amazing to have her be local like that.
So first best is face-to-face. Second best would be some form of video conference, Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Third best would be some form of video introduction in your email, like Hippo Video.
Yep.
And fourth best would be an email, or worst best would be an email. Even a telephone call would be better.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's live and you can get a back and forth going right. versus, you know.
I just burn somebody because they only wanted to communicate by email. I don't want to talk to them.
You fired them as a salesperson.
Right.
Not like someone who worked for us, but someone who's trying to sell us something.
Yeah. Someone who doesn't have enough time because they're going from meeting to meeting. I'm like,
okay, great. Get me your boss.
I said, have your boss call me. And all of a sudden, she found time.
Oh, man. All right. So coming up today, we have an amazing episode with DJ Sebastian. I feel like he has just such an amazing name.
Yeah, he does. But he also has an amazing sales story. He's written a book about it. IBM guy for a long, long time, a digital guy, and he only talks to top-performing salespeople. So if you're not a top-performing salespeople, you may want to cut out right now. But if you want to be a top-performing salesperson or you are a top-performing salesperson, please stay tuned for the great DJ Sebastian. Diehards, listen up. DJ Sebastian's professional sales career spans more than 20 years as a top-performing sales executive. DJ served in strategic selling roles for IBM, the world's largest technology provider to businesses, specializes in artificial intelligence, and got this gig because he cold-called emailed me. Ooh. Please help us welcome the great DJ Sebastian.
Thank you for being here.
Great to be on your show, and it is an honor to be able to chat with the king of sales and how much you both have done for the world of sales to make it a better place.
And aww. DJ, may I just say, I humbly agree.
I think that when we think of AI, at least when I do, I always think of like little robots hanging out in the room, like moving things, making your coffee, you know, just like doing things. But it seems like AI is so much more than that. And it's really built into so much of what we do and use every day that we don't even realize it. What are some of the most common AI examples that we're experiencing on a daily basis?
The definition of artificial intelligence is really simulating human brain power to be able to solve a problem or address an issue. So, and it can process that in natural language. It can communicate like a human in text form, in video, in speech. But there's multiple components, and a lot of these are coming together that are making it so that the time is right for AI. First, you have advanced data analytics. So this is the money ball piece. It's been around for some time. And when a company like Google or Facebook says, well, we changed our algorithm, that's all about the advanced data analytics, how they crunch numbers to determine what's the best segment for customers or what's the best thing to model for their new marketing program. You can use that's being used. I spent a lot of time helping customers implement advanced analytics to increase sales, to increase productivity, and those kind of things. The next one is now the ability to do smart communication, natural language. So there are, you know, Siri is an early version, a rudimentary version of that. But what that ends up looking like is down the road is the ability to do back and forth a real interaction. There are now call centers that companies use where you cannot tell if you're talking, you're chatting with a person or you're chatting with a, what they call a chat bot that is AI driven.
That's scary.
There's one way to tell. If you hit enter with your request or query, and your response comes back in a half a second, that's AI-driven
exactly.
bot.
Yeah.
Wow. There's
also a cognitive engine, which is a main piece of this, and that's the brain. It relies on a lot of data to be able to come up with, just like in a human brain. But the more data you feed, the smarter that cognitive engine gets, and it learns as you go. Each interaction. So when you go on a website to buy something and it tells you, you know, people that bought this also bought these things, then you buy something else. The next time you come back, it's going to give you a different set of recommendations. So the latest thing, this is just being tested out in the last month, facial and visual recognition. Samsung is one, and there are other companies, I'm sure Apple's going to come up with this, where by looking at one photo of a portrait of a face, they can emulate a conversation where the face, the mouth moves, it talks, and it, you can't even tell that it's not a real person. So all of that depends on a robust knowledge of data. So in the area of sales, you need to understand your customers, you need to understand where your products fit, what the value is, how salespeople operate. You know how salespeople hate updating the customer relationship management system, but more and more companies are requiring that you do that so they can get more information on you and on how we can institute best practices and going forward, how that happens. And the last thing is, it takes a lot of horsepower, which is now there. Everything's in the cloud. So, you know, one little request goes out to the cloud and comes back with a response in 2 seconds. That wasn't there before, where you had to have all these systems installed on individual computers.
This is the challenge, Diehard. Here's a guy who is probably older than you are as you're listening, has spent a bunch of time in sales, and now deals in artificial intelligence, and you don't even know what the hell it is.
So, well, let's back up. Let's learn first about your sales journey. So how did you get into sales as a profession?
I wasn't a natural born salesperson. I don't think anybody can be, but I came from the technical side. My background is in computer science and math. So I started developing software right out of school, ended up becoming a project leader who had a team of people much smarter than me write software, that, and we automated factory operations. So a lot of that I saw 25 years ago, that this automation is affecting skilled workers, welders, people in the plant. And while we were having a lot of fun, you know, we didn't recognize what it was going to do in the working class. So for the last dozen years, I worked with advanced analytics to help customers use analytic tools like the Moneyball stuff and improve their sales, improve their operations, improve their supply chain. And then at IBM, worked with the artificial intelligence tools and both met with many customers who were looking to understand what was possible as well as what they wanted it to do in the future. And that kind of scared me because I felt this is going to be a transformational thing. It's going to be another revolution, yet nobody seems to be positioned to address it. And that's why I wrote the book.
Edify our listeners, because the book is not out on the stands yet. What is the title of it going to be?
The title of the book is The Selling Revolution, and the subtitle is Prospering in the New World of Artificial Intelligence.
So how can you prosper in this new world, and what are some of the things that our diehards need to look out for?
The diehards will need to make sure that they become what we call the authentic expert. So you meet the challenge of artificial intelligence by building that expertise. And there's a number of things you do. It's specified in our book in a brick by bricks fashion. First, there's personal qualities, things like integrity. And Jen, you write about how ethics are everything and, you know, do what you know is right. Passion, if you don't have passion for this business, there's no way you're going to succeed. There's no way that, you know, you're going to win customers and win new business. If you don't have the passion, you don't work hard. And then things like perseverance, obviously following up and making sure that you are on top of things. Creativity is another one. I've got a couple examples we could talk about later about how creativity becomes a part of it. You've got to commit to be a continuous learner. People talk about a trusted advisor. We take that one notch up higher and call it a proactive advisor. An advisor is good if, you know, they're out there, but if they're just trusted and waiting for a call, that doesn't help. So I've worked with some excellent salespeople that I learned from who maybe they had global responsibility for an account, and they actually went around to all of the divisions around the world and became expert in the industry and expert in the company and where their solution can provide extensive benefit, to the point where executives from these companies would call him up and ask him what's going on at these other divisions. He knew the business. He knew the company more than they did. And another thing would be being a clear communicator. Great communicators will always have a job. AI cannot touch what that can do, a good communicator can do. The top layer is really all about a winning and a champion mindset. I liken it to athletes. Sales seems to be the last bastion of competition. Some of us are, you know, too weary to compete in athletics anymore, but you can compete in sales. You can knock the crap out of your competition. You can strategize to win deals and taking it on like you would an athlete in preparation and in delivery is very important.
So what you're saying is that artificial intelligence will not eliminate the sales job, but it will challenge the salesperson to be a better salesperson, a more communicative person, because I can find out all the stuff I need from Mother Google, all the logical stuff I can find out. It's the emotional part of this process that's going to win for me rather than the artificial part.
Exactly. Just focus on what you can do that the machines cannot do. So today, e-commerce is out there and people can look up 90% of the information they need on a solution or a product, then bring a salesperson in to, you know, negotiate the deal. Well, if you're not in there on the front end, you become like a commodity. So the artificial intelligence is going to be able to automate a lot of those transactional tasks. So if that's all you're doing is writing quotes and sending proposals and following up, that's going to all be automated and you're not going to be needed in a few short years.
Hey, everybody, this is Gina Tremarco
and Rachel Tipton,
and we are
Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the new podcast that does what?
Make sales sexy again.
What's this podcast about, Rachel?
It's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks, and it's filled with laughter, random chatter, practical advice, and some serious stuff.
It's not just for women, though, right?
No, it's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks for men and for women.
Listen to us on the Sell or Die Network,
womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, and anywhere that you can find podcasts. And
be sure to subscribe, comment, share our podcast, and give us a review. Tune in and listen to
Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again.
You've been warned.
But can't the artificial intelligence also give the salesperson some hints about where to go in this thing? Can't they recommend emotional things?
That's a good point, Jeffrey, because the smart companies, the smart sales organizations will be able to use artificial intelligence to their benefit. Because what they'll be able to do is use the deep analytics to identify when they're territory planning. What are the best prospects that we should be going after? How can our solution be able to uniquely differentiate? And how can a salesperson use those tools to be able to become better at what they do? Even sales managers, some really good sales managers out there are with their team and understand, you know, who their go-to people are, but some of them are spreadsheet jockeys, and artificial intelligence can tell you the information you need from, you know, what's the propensity for us to win this deal? Where should we spend less resources on this? And then going forward, what's the best plan of attack?
So in other words, diehards, don't fear artificial intelligence. You better embrace it, learn how to capitalize on its opportunities and use it to the best of your ability to keep your job, not put your job in jeopardy.
Well, are you saying that some companies now are using artificial intelligence to replace salespeople?
It's happening in some areas right now. It's just going to get even more pervasive. There are telecom companies who have these advanced tools, recommendation engines. So for inside sales, for example, calls come in, they're automatically routed before it even gets to a real person. The recommendation engine knows what's going on, knows what if it's a sales opportunity or if it's customer service opportunity, and then could recommend what are the next best actions to perform. If you look at the automotive industry, I can go in and configure a $70,000 sport utility. I can do shop, click, drive, and schedule pickup at a nearby dealership without even talking to a salesperson. So a lot of that automation is coming, and it's gonna affect certainly inside sales, but also the transactional field salesperson will be involved. There's a ton of areas where we see companies now trying to use that. It's in the early stage, but how do we target customers in the best way? How do we make sure a lot of research that's done by salespeople can be done through these AI tools, and it can actually help the salespeople who embrace it rather than fear it?
Hey, keep in mind, diehards, DJ just gave you the insight. It's in its early stages. And what that means is, as an example, if you're selling cars, it's likely that you're going to be replaced with the buy now button or any place else that they can put a buy now button. But it doesn't mean that you wouldn't be part of the negotiation process. And so if you're in any kind of sales that involves relationship or involves any kind of price negotiation or delivery negotiation, that's something that you need to study artificial intelligence, embrace the process, and do it now while it's still young and you're not shut out of the marketplace. And it doesn't matter what age you are. Like, you can be 73 years old and embrace artificial intelligence and win. Beat a 20-year-old who goes home and drinks beer every night and watches Netflix.
So if a salesperson really wants to go head-to-head with the AI that's coming in and embrace it in a way, but also win over the AI and be needed over the AI, what are some of the strategies they should use? So you talked a little bit about, you know, integrity and communication and being able to negotiate and those kinds of things. What are the most important ones? Because you listed a whole lot.
Right. Becoming a great communicator has to be right there at the top of the list, because right now AI, it knows only what's in its knowledge base. It's not creative. I'll give you an example. One of my colleagues was given an account that was a bankrupt company. Well, nobody wanted it, but he relished the challenge, and he started doing some of the research and understand what the company was doing and what they were doing wrong and how they were going to recover. So he put together a briefing document, custom made for this customer, sent it to the CEO, sent it to their executives and a couple of board members. And guess what? They returned his calls. So they put together a strategy where they can help with this solution, help the transformation of the company. And no AI tool is going to predict that or figure that out. Now, he had to go through a very detailed evaluation afterwards, but he got, you know, right where he needed to be with getting buy-in from the different divisions with different executives. And he walked away with a $10 million deal prepaid, because he used creativity when most salespeople would have just walked away.
So that's phenomenal. What are some other ways to get creative that you've seen? I hear a lot of salespeople say, oh, but I'm not creative, or I don't have creativity in me. So what would you say to them? How can you help them?
Sure. A lot of it is doing the work, doing the research. So the more you understand about a company, there's so many ways where you can get research about an industry. What are their main challenges? What are their pains? And then align that to how your solution provides the, you know, the right tool that they need to get better. So you can find out if it's a public company, you can go to their investor relations website and you can download the latest investor presentation or look at the quarterly or the annual reports. And those will give you some golden nuggets that, boy, you can leverage. So you know that the company is telling the market that while they're doing well, they need to do these three things to get better. And so they're going to brag about what they have planned to do. So you go in there and you look at where your solution can solve that problem and you engage with them on how that would work. I tell our young folks who are trying to, you know, expand their breadth in sales to come up with three innovative ideas that you can bring to the company. Maybe they're already working on them. Maybe they never thought about it because, you know, customers don't necessarily sit around and see what is out there in the marketplace. They've got companies to run and they've got jobs to do, but you could bring that and you could be that proactive advisor that comes in there and, you know, blasts out the competition, whether it's, you know, other sales humans or it's AI.
Hmm. Any CEO will listen to an idea.
Yes.
No CEO is going to listen to a PowerPoint presentation.
Whether it's a robot or a person.
Exactly. And that's what you have to realize as a salesperson, that you're now on trial for the next decade as to can you build your creative library of knowledge and can you execute that to your customers who need new ideas? There isn't one guy, there's not one CEO that says, new ideas, I don't really want them. And you as a salesperson need to focus on the 100-year-old principle of Napoleon Hill, the word concentration. That's the glue that will help you as a salesperson to understand, number one, how it works, and number two, where you fit in, because you may not be able to think as fast as this thing can, so all the crap that you're presenting to somebody is garbaggio. Start doing something that's offline. Start doing something that's emotionally based and harmonize with this process rather than try to fight it.
I think concentration is an underrated word in today's society because we're all checking our smartphones, our watches. We have things going off, alerts going off. I mean, it's like everywhere you look, it's a distraction. And so it's definitely...
Hold on a second.
Yes?
You okay? What?
He pulled out his phone for the flashlight is on and in my eyes. okay, so I think it's totally underrated, but one of the other things you mentioned was social media. And I wonder, like, how can a salesperson go head-to-head with an AI bot or whatever on social media? Like, is it... Who's getting the followers? Or is it real people? Or is it the bots?
I think you can use AI bots for lead generation or at least some customer follow-up that can actually help the salesperson. But yeah, you know, there's so much communication, whether it's personal or it's business, that is through Twitter, through Facebook, through text messaging, through Snapchat. So competing with those things is tough because it's an automatic thing that so many people are using now. We get a lot more salesperson avoidance because of those things. So it's a lot easier for them to ignore. But still, the old salvo about pick up the phone, try to talk to people, leave a voice message. They can't ignore a text message, you know, when you leave them your voice. Even if, like, Jeffrey left me a voice message a month ago, it was 7 seconds. Jeffrey Gittimer here, phone number, I'll be standing by. That's it. How long do you think it took for me to call him back?
Not even a second.
Right. Exactly.
But the challenge is that the salesperson is spending their time complaining rather than try to figure out how they can win. Mm-hmm. And so you as a salesperson, as a diehard, you have to decide which attitude you're going to take towards this. Is it exciting and you want to learn about it? Or are you going to just be pissed off and go, well, these fuckers are trying to take my job away from me. And if that's your attitude, they will.
Right. The elite are going to figure out how they can use this to their advantage. It's just another tool, and they're not going to let it put them out of business. You know, most good salespeople, they have their own brand. They're more loyal to their brand than they are their company, because hey, their company could go away, their job could go away, but the expertise that they've gained is transferable. So learn what you can and be able to utilize that down the road.
So it almost sounds like a salesperson with their own brand should be partnering with AI in a sense, like consider it a partnership that you can use to create lead generation, that you can use to create customer service, you know, follow up, whatever, those kinds of things. But let's dig into the lead generation part. How could a salesperson utilize that?
So let's say you have a territory that has 600 accounts in it. It's impossible to go through that and figure out what's the best 10 or 20 for you to work. So AI can go in and establish the text, all the text that's written about a company, and it could put it into a profile, and it could run the data analytics to figure out, hey, based on our solution and our customers, these are the top 20. So let's start with them. And then you can come back and say, well, this is not exactly a good one. This is a good one. And then you refresh it. So it can automatically help you, assess your territory and then identify, you know, who's doing well, who's not, who do we want to spend our time with? That's mostly a manual process right now, and it's not any fun.
So we have a bunch of sales leaders and business owners that are listening right now, and they're saying to themselves, who the hell is this guy and how do I contact him and what is his software looking like and how much does it cost?
Yeah.
And the answer is it doesn't matter how much it costs, because it's going to cost you if you don't rather than cost you if you do. How can people find you, DJ?
They can send me an email at dj@thetechseller.com. I have a website. It is thetechseller.com. I've got a free gift for the seller diehards. If they go to my website, they can get this report that is the top 10 tips for crystal clear communication. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Some of the stuff we just touched on a little bit today. And you can download it and print it.
Thank you so much. We'll put that link in the show notes.
Yeah, that's
this is so cool.
Very
thank
cool.
you for coming on our show. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. And
thank and you
expertise.
For scaring the shit out of a bunch of salespeople.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's time to work on your relationship skills for sure, guys.
Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe. Rate and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.